Please open with me in your Bibles to our scripture for this morning. The verse is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians is located after the book of Philippians, which is located after the book of Ephesians, which is located after the book of Galatians. And once you have found it, please rise with me for the reading of God's Word, and we can read it together. Let us read.
So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. I'd like to welcome Pastor Wilson this morning, who will give us a message entitled, A Christ-Focused Life.
A big difference. Last week we had a long, long passage. This week we only have two verses. I want to draw to your attention that I'm going to use a different version of the translation for today's message, because I think that version, NASB, which on the next slide captures some of the very subtle but very important meaning of the original text, especially on the tense. So if the co-worker in the AV can... So therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. A couple years ago, there was a movie called Apollo 13. I think a lot of you saw that movie. It is actually sort of like a semi-documentary about the space mission, the moon mission of Apollo 13. They ran into a crisis. There's for some kind of malfunction or mechanical failure, the spaceship could not return to Earth. So it was on day six of that mission that they have the crew of the Apollo 13 decided to shut down the engine and shut down everything in the ship to conserve power so that they can have enough power to fire up the ship when it returned back to Earth. Now, when they shut up all the machine and all these computers on board, one problem, which is they have to find a fixed point in space in order to navigate the ship once they restart the engine. And they calculate that they have to restart the engine and fire up the engine, the main engine, for 39 seconds, precisely, 39 seconds, in order to draw that spaceship back on Earth. Now, if you recall the main character, Tom Hanks, you know, he's playing Jim, the leader of the mission. And he was struggling to try to find a fixed point in space in order to navigate the ship. And what he found was Earth. In that little window, in that very little window in that spaceship, he found Earth. He think, if I can keep the Earth, that little dot, on that window on certain places, then I'm on the right course. So he did that for 39 seconds, those 39 important seconds. He kept his eye on the image of Earth on that little window. And finally, they got back on Earth safely. Focus is very, very important, because focus determines what we're going to do. And this focus tells us who we are as we read today's scripture. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Focus is something that directs our lives. Without focus, we don't know where we go. Without focus, we could be very busy, we could be very occupied, but at the end, we cannot put everything together and there's no direction and there's no meaning. So let's bow our head and pray and look upon the Lord to speak to us this morning. Father, this morning we gather together as the beginning of year 2008. We want to offer up our life to you. We want to offer up this new year to you. As the new year starts to unfold before us, Father, we ask for your grace and your mercy, that time will not pass by as just before, but rather, this year, we will find focus in you, whether it is in our individual life, or the life as a congregation, or the life as the whole church. Father, we ask for your mercy, and we ask for your presence to guide us, to help us to fix our eyes upon the right focus, so that you can guide us, so that we know where to follow. Thank you, Father. We pray all these in your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Today I want to share with you 2 points from this passage. A Christ-focused life. What is a Christ-focused life? A Christ-focused life is a life that would mark by receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. On verse 7 in today's scripture, again, I go back to the NASB translation. Therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians, because at that time in the city, in that church, there were some wrong teaching. Those wrong teaching basically focused on something. The focus was away from Christ. They were thinking about if you add some of the things in your life, you add some of the behavior, you add some of the things that you do, you might attain a fuller salvation. You might attain more blessing from the Lord. But Paul, upon hearing that kind of false teaching, he wrote this letter and remind the believers in that church that you do not need anything more. Christ Jesus is enough. So he said, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now, pay attention here. Paul used the term Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, I know that in the NIV translation in the Bible that you're holding is Christ Jesus as the Lord. But I think the NASB translation is more accurate. It is the full title, Christ Jesus the Lord. It is the full title of Jesus Christ. Why did Paul bring up the full title of Christ Jesus here? Because you want to go back to the first chapter of the same book, the first chapter, verse 15 to 20. Let me read it to you. It is a doxology. And in this doxology, he captures who is Jesus Christ. The majesty, the glory of the Son of God. In verse 15 to 20, he said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So in this couple of verses, very short, it's a doxology. It captured the fullness, the supremacy of Jesus Christ that the Father intended to invest and to put in Jesus Christ, all in him. So in other words, Paul is drawing the believers' attention back to Jesus Christ, that whatever you need in your life, everything is in Christ. He is enough because He is the supreme one. He is the most, the highest one, the most important one in our lives. That gives the believers at that time, as well as for us today, a focus point. Our focus ought to be on Jesus Christ the Lord, the supreme one, the one that the Father is pleased to make all the fullness dwell in Him, the image of God, the image of the invisible God, all in Jesus Christ. In that doxology, not only the supremacy of Christ has been expressed, but also the humility of Christ Jesus is expressed in that doxology. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. The most supreme one yet took the most humble form. Walk among us. Become a servant. Become a suffering servant. And God's will is done through His suffering, His blood, His cross. Everything is in Christ. So therefore, on verse 6, Paul reminds them, when you face challenges, when you face things, teachings from other people, when you face temptation, what we need is not another effort, not another moral teaching, not other things, but refocus on Christ Jesus, the Lord Himself. Now, how does that translate into your life, my life? Are we allow Christ Jesus the Lord to define who we are? Are we allow Him to define who we are? Do we root our identity in Him and in Him alone? If you travel, you visit different churches, you will see different churches, their ministry, their vision, they are a little bit different. But when you walk into a church that belongs to God, you will have a common experience, which is the one that they worship, the ministry that they do, the one that they serve, is the same Lord, the same God as ours. As I'm standing up here and look, when you're sitting down there, we have people coming from different walks of life, different background, different educational background, different cultural background, and even also different ethnic background. But I think the question for us is, how do we find our identity as God's people? Or to say it more explicitly, that we are among the three congregations in our CCC. There are other two congregations in this church. We bear different cultural, ethnic identity on each one. But I think we emphasize too much on that difference. And we forgot the most important thing is what we have in common in Christ. I think we should not try to define ourselves as our cultural or ethnic background, but as something very, very important and fundamental, which is in our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Because in Him, there was neither Jew nor Gentile. Because in Him, all the wall has been teared down. And He is sufficient. And I think that is how we should define ourselves. When we ask ourselves this question, why do people come to our church to worship with us? It should not be our cultural identity. It should not be our ethnic identity. It should be something that we live for God And when we live for God, when we dedicate ourselves to God, when we follow God, something in our life will shine out. And those lights, those aroma of Christ will attract people to come and be part of us. This is what God, what Paul said to the church 2,000 years ago. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. Christ Jesus, the Lord. He is the Supreme One. He is the highest one. And in Him, we found everything about ourselves. A Christ-focused life is a life of receiving that gift. Paul used the word receive. That means it's not our own work, it's not because of our labor, but it's a gift that's given by the Lord Himself. We just receive it. So therefore, we cannot claim any credit. It has been accomplished, and it has been done. It has been given to us as a gift. He is the King, but yet, in His humility, He is a friend of you and me. And this morning, before us, this table, the element, the bread and the cup, we observe that every month also is to remind us that what the Lord Jesus has done for each one of us, He used His action to express His love toward us. A Christ-focused life is also a journey in the Lord. Verse 6 and 7. The latter part of verse 6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. In the NIV translation, live in Him. But the original Greek is walk in Him. That implies a journey. That implies a journey. A walk is a journey. And the journey is the result of receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. That's why Paul used the word therefore and so. Therefore and so. There's causality there. Because of that, therefore, we have this. Therefore and so, the journey of walking in the Lord is a natural result of receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. Receiving Christ Jesus is something happened instantaneously. But a walk takes a period of time, is a process. So the moment that you and I receive Jesus Christ as our Lord, we have Christ Jesus the Lord instantaneously. But we have to walk in Him. We have to walk in Him at the same time. And that walk will translate into behavior. Walk imply that we need to follow. We need to follow Him. We need to follow Christ Jesus. We need to obey Him. We need to obey Him. That is why in Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27, Jesus said a parable about comparing two persons who are building a house, one building on sand, the other one building on a rock foundation. And the conclusion that Jesus drew was, if you listen to my word and you obey, then you are the wise builder that build your house upon a rock foundation. If you listen to my word and you do not obey, you do not put it in action, then as if you are building your house on sand, it will not withstand. It will collapse. So we receive Christ as a gift, as a grace from the Lord. But on the other hand, we have our daily walk to learn to obey, to learn to follow Him on a daily basis. This journey of walking with the Lord also, Paul reminded us, has to be rooted in grace as well. It is expressed in verse 7. In verse 7, here the translation of NASB is more accurate on some of the subtle thing. In verse 7, he said, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. In this verse, there's four participles. And we know that in grammar, participle is used to modify the verb, which is walk in him. So Paul used four participles to modify, to express, to explain what is this walk. The first one is having been firmly rooted, being rooted. The second one is being built up. And the third one is being established. And the fourth one, overflowing. All of these four participles, you can see that I highlighted in red and in yellow. And those highlight in yellow, the first three, having been rooted, being built up, being established, in the original language, that which the NASB translates accurately, is all in passive voice. Only the last one that I highlight in green, overflowing, is in active voice. Now bear with me, this is a little bit technical. Those participles, they put in a passive voice. There's a reason for that. Because in Paul's idea, in Paul's original meaning, in Paul's intention, those actions, those things were not generated by our own effort. We are passively receiving those things. Having been firmly rooted, being built up, and being established in your faith, these were passive. These were not out of our own effort. God planted us, deeply rooted. God built us up, and God established us through faith. Rooted is an image about a plant. The deeper the root, the stronger the tree is going to be. And if you do yard work, then you know that some of those weeds you pull out is very easy because the root system is very shallow. But some of the weeds are very difficult to draw out, like those crabgrass. You yank, and then you find out that the root system spread out much more extensive than other weeds. It's very difficult to uproot that. Root is very important because root is where the plant gets its nutrition, where it stabilizes the plant. So Paul here urges us that you have to remember that God roots you in Christ Jesus. That God roots you in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the anchor. He is the anchor. He is sufficient to stabilize your life. He is sufficient to withstand challenges, difficulties, and circumstances. He is enough. Rooted, being rooted in Christ. And also, being built up in Him. Built up is something that you can see. Root is something you cannot see. But building is something that you can see. It's outside expression. And that expression is also according to God's grace. According to God's grace. And building in Him is a continuing action. It's a continuing action. Therefore, in the original language, it's also passive continuing tense. It is an action that is still going on. An action that is still going on. That's why Peter, when he said the growth of a Christian in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 to 8, let me read to you. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promise, so that through Him you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. For this very reason, he said, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess all these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Christ, Jesus Christ. Now, Paul come up with a list. Goodness. After goodness, knowledge. After knowledge, self-control. After self-control, perseverance, and so forth. Why did he do that? Because it is a building process. It is a walk. It is a process. That when you attain one, you continue to grow. I don't know whether you have this experience. Years ago, when God came into my life, cleansed me, forgave my sin, and gave me power to overcome some of my bad habits, I thought, wow, that was powerful. And at that moment, I thought, my life seems to be perfect. But little did I know that God continued to work in my life and dig deeper and deeper every day. And every time He revealed part of my heart, the darkness, and He gave me an invitation, would you give me the permission to work in your life so that every day I walk in your life a little bit more, the light shine into darkness a little bit more. And I found that it is a growing process. It is a process that I go through every day, and I'm still going through that process today. Every time when I found that I myself in some situation, there's some darkness come up in my heart, and I knew that God wants to do something about that. Do we give Him that permission to work one problem at a time? Because God is not satisfied by just fixing your building. He wants to change that building into a mansion. He wants to add more addition to that old building and completely transform that building and make it into something glorious beyond your imagination, beyond my imagination. But we ought to give Him that permission so that His grace can flow freely into our lives. Build up in Him. Be strengthened in faith. Strengthened in faith is actually to believe in Him more and more every day. To believe in Him more and more every day. Therefore, your faith will be fortified. Your faith will be fortified. This will happen when difficulties come to our lives. This will happen when things doesn't go my way. And do we trust in the Lord that He will continue to guide? He will continue to bless us. Those rooted, built up, and established, they are passive, in passive voice. It is given by the Lord. It is the Lord's work in our lives. And when we allow the Lord to flow these grace, these gifts in our lives, a natural result would be the fourth participle, which is overflowing in gratitude. Now this one, different from the first three, is in active voice, which is something we do, something coming up from us, which is overflow in gratitude. It's a natural response when we experience God's grace, when we experience transformation. We share the joy. We give thanks out of the bottom of our hearts to express that. There's a book called The Hiding Place. I don't know whether you read that book before. There's a story recorded in that book by the author. The author is Corrie Ten Boom. They were captured during World War II and being put in concentration camp. And Corrie has a sister called, her name is Betsy. And they've been put in the concentration camp. There's one thing that bothers Corrie very much, is this camp is infested with fleas. She got bitten all over her body. And it bugs her, it bothers her so much. Now one day when they get together in their little place in that concentration camp, try to do devotion, they came across this passage in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. It said, be joyful always, pray continually. Now, if this bothers her, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. And Corey thought, how could I give thanks for all these fleas in that camp that bothers me, that beats me every day? But Bessie, her sister, encouraged her, urged her, you know, just learn, just try to do that. So finally, Corey could not resist Betsy's invitation. So finally, she said it very reluctantly, "Dear Lord, I give thanks for the fleas in the concentration camp." Without much feeling about that. Actually, with a lot of ill feeling. But before long, they found that they start to have freedom to conduct Bible study within the concentration camp. And the very reason for them to have that freedom was the German guard was afraid of the fleas. They don't want to walk in there, so therefore they have all the freedom to do that. And because of that Bible study, they spread the gospel. Give thanks in all circumstances. She learned that lesson. She learned that difficult lesson. But when we do that, we experience God's grace. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is the first Sunday in 2008. I have expectation. I'm excited about this year to come. This is the year that God will minister His grace and His presence among us. But we ought to ask ourselves this question. What is our focus? Or rather, who is our focus? As a congregation, we have many things to grow. We have many things to learn. And we need to attain that maturity in Christ. Maturity expressed in our behavior. Maturity expressed in the way that we treat each other. When every week when you receive the bulletin, we turn around, you see a list of names. And in that name, we use the term servant leaders. The leaders are not lord over. But we are here trying to serve. Serve you by serving God. Or rather, serving God through serving each one of you. But only, you see, the list is very short. How can we take care of everybody? So I want to invite each one of us here this morning. Offer up your life to Christ Jesus the Lord and serve Him. You don't have to serve with a title, but you serve in your daily lives. You serve each other. In a small group, if you're a small group leader, you see that they're under stress, they need help, offer yourself to help out. Offer a word of encouragement when you see someone walking in the campus on Sunday that you see, oh, some people, they have stress. Some people, they have disappointment. Say some word of encouragement. For the servant leaders, I hope this is a year that you really connect with people. You really connect with people by caring for them. And this is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. He said, we have many, many, we have 10,000 guardians, but fathers, we have very few. It is the heart of the fathers. It is the heart that cares. It is the heart that you connect with other people. We are very busy, but without a correct focus, your job, your career will take that focus. And Christ Jesus the Lord will be pushed aside in your life. So let's bow head together. Let's prepare our heart for the following communion. As we bow our head together, I just want to reread today's scripture. May the Lord speak to you. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Father, we thank you. As I seeing all these brothers and sisters standing, I know that it is your Holy Spirit at work in their hearts. I know it is your grace. And after all, this whole race is not about us. It is about your grace, and it is about your kingdom. So Father, as we stand up and offer up 208, may your heart be satisfied. May you have the freedom and the permission to work in our lives, to make us into someone that's different from this world. And make us someone that is not defined by things around us, but rather by who is inside our hearts. You, Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord. Thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.